Suits and Sanders is a leadership and legacy podcast that seeks to address the key leadership issues in business, government, and personal or self-leadership. Our objective is to raise the awareness of the crucial role leadership plays in almost every tangible achievement of personal and institutional goals. At the core of our mission, we believe every person is born with a special gift to lead an impactful life and to massively contribute towards the success of the nation and our posterity. The name Suits and Sanders reminds us that great leaders are first servants. So we believe you're going to massively be impacted with the content we'll bring you, and we hope that you're going to maximize your potential with the objective of maximizing your contribution to the nation, but above all, to leave an impact on this generation and to the entire posterity. So join us on this journey. Welcome to another episode on Suits and Sanders. Today we continue with the entrepreneurship agenda, and we'll be talking about the family business idea. So you're with me, your host, Moses Chavi. Now, the family business sounds like a very interesting thing to do. And there's obviously a connotation of the power of unity. So if you think of family businesses have been touted to be some of the strongest across generations. So if you go back to the US, which is actually the easily reference for everyone, you talk about the Rockefellers, you know, when you think about the Rockefellers, you think about, oh, wow, wealth that has been there from generation to generation, it just keeps on being handed over to the next generation. In the African context, there are lots of families who have actually handed over lots of inheritance from great-grandparents, grandparents, parents, then children. And although such worth or inheritance may not be very evident, because most of it is more like land, so the great-grandparents left land, so that land keeps on, you know, it's more like a customary land that keeps on moving down the generations. But that is worth. Land is real estate. Land is worth. But talking about what we call worth visibly, that people expect, you know, like companies, entities, big enterprises being created by great-grandparents and handed down on the continent, not just Malawi, that's not very common. That's not very common. So the family business idea of having generational worth on the continent of Africa and Malawi for one, it's not very common. So you have a few families who have done that very well, but what we hear most of the times is family worth that goes with the parents. So it no longer becomes family worth. It's like the parents' worth. So when they pass on, the worth also follows them, which is quite unfortunate. Before we jump into that, the why, what about doing business together as a family, meaning siblings, for example, like the brothers, the sisters, or just coming together as siblings and doing something together, regardless of whether you've moved on and you are now married, but together with your spouses, why don't you still come back and invest in something that we can call a family business? So why do many people never want to do business with their parents or siblings, let alone those cousins and nephews down the road, you know, like those cousins, you know, those cousins you don't like seeing? Why don't you want to do business with those cousins and those nephews down the road? Is it an issue of trust or past bad experience or learned or adopted knowledge or fear of the unknown? Isn't Africa known for its strong family and cultural bonds, where we are far much better touted as, you know, a very cultural continent where we live with our parents forever? Like, you know, we are quite protective of our families. We love our families. We love our kids. We love our parents. You know, Africa is touted for that. So how and why do we fail when it comes to, you know, embracing this idea of family businesses? Unfortunately, in our context, we hear more incidents of broken trust more than successful business partnerships among family members. I believe this trajectory has to change. This trajectory has to change. Solid and generational family businesses have a unique capacity to anchor the economy in various sectors, and they also infuse a DNA-based business continuity and what I can term a formidable succession plan. So a family business in particular has unique strength because it's built on family fundamentals. It's not just a cultural thing, but it comes deep to the family roots. So if you find a family that has actually agreed to do something together, there's a high likelihood that that business may stand the test of time if the DNA, the fabric of the relationship of the family, the people who are the founders of the establishment are able actually to cascade that DNA to the next generation, to their sons and daughters, so that they continue to work together. So there's actually that infusion of business continuity mindset and a very strong succession plan so that that business should not die with the first generation or with the founders. Family businesses have the power of elevating a whole clan due to their ability to pull everyone along or not leaving anyone behind. The mandate becomes a clear statement to prosper the entire family and never to continue over reliance on that rich uncle who buys everything for everyone. Remember that? You know that rich uncle, and he also pays education allowances for the whole village. So we need to stop celebrating that one person agenda where the entire village burdens one person to support all our cousins and our nephews. The celebration of this type of family setup needs to stop, honestly. It's not progressive. And one way of doing this is by encouraging family enterprises, or at least investing in family initiatives. So I believe when we embrace this culture of coming together as a family, as brothers, sisters, as cousins, nephews, you know, with a clean and pure heart to do things together, we can build family enterprises that are strong and that can actually stand the test of time. But I'm also aware that some families have complex relationships. So we need to obviously trade wisely, not just say we want to do something for the family and everyone just crops in and you take everyone into the business agenda. But by far and large, you always have different mindsets when it comes to money issues, especially money. It's not just, you know, running a vision that you're doing a business. There's also a commercial sense on why you're doing a business. So there are some people who are just impossible, impossible. So don't try so hard to bring people into the fold who never understand your vision or run with it. So only bring family members who understand what you're doing. So the first adoption level for the family business concept is between husband and wife. That is very important to understand that the clustering of a family business needs to start at that level. So if you're married, then you're looking at your spouse and your children, of course, right? Of course. So when you talk about a family, we talk about that first, the biological family or the first degree. And the second level is partnership among siblings. And the third level entails extension of trust to cousins and nephews, all right? So siblings can actually start something together depending on your different abilities, skill sets, and your passions. So siblings would be the second, and the third level would entail the extension of trust. I'm calling it extension of trust because it's you remember what we discussed. If you listen to the previous podcast on the power of partnerships, we spoke that partnerships are more like a marriage. It's the same thing here. So you extend trust to the cousins and nephews because the thickness of the blood sometimes looks like it loses that, you know, that density. The further you move from the first degree relationship, it just happens by default, right? Everyone has like their siblings, and when you're trying to pull your cousins and nephews, it's like you're trying to pull them into something that they are not really embracing because there is a thicker blood calling them somewhere else. So one of those things, right? So we need to be wiser. So uncles, aunties, and then anyone from the extended family, they all pretty much fall into that third level degree type of partnerships. So most people find it easier to trust their spouse or their children, although they still love, obviously, their siblings. They know that actually they can work with their siblings very well. But there's just this issue that although you still hear strange traditions that advise men not to trust women with a business, it's just one of those bad and old traditions that people used to say, as a man, you know, lead and do everything on your own, just run. Whatever you do, then the family and the kids will be running behind you. That tradition is one of those traditions that have killed well-intended family businesses. Or some quarters encourage spouses to run separate ventures in order to avoid crashes that emanate from bringing home issues to the business. Yes and no. You know, you can actually run different enterprises, of course, having vested interest in each, because you can, as spouses, you cannot say that he does his stuff, she does her own stuff, and I don't even know what goes on in there. No. If you're married, it means you have indeed become one person. So whatever the other one leads, you can be a CEO there, whilst the husband is a CEO in another entity, but ultimately, you both have vested interest in both entities. Or you can have a case where maybe there's a family business where both of you are leading or one of you is leading, but you know that this is a family business and any of the spouses can also have the liberty of investing in another partnership elsewhere. But remember that investment in that partnership, though the other spouse's name is not there, definitely in terms of the beneficiaries, you would be there as a spouse. That's what builds strong bonds in marriage. You cannot be doing different things away from each other without actually knowing that the other person also has a vested interest, including your kids. So whatever your belief system, there's a fundamental truth that marriage transforms a man and a woman into an entity called the union, whereby your initially separate plans, visions, purposes, and entire lives culminate into a single focus. This makes a marriage one of the most powerful partnerships to ever grace the face of the earth. Fact. The key is to realize that spouses will always have a share in each other's successes and failures. If you fail to embrace this one, you just score a recipe for disaster in your relationship. So regarding siblings and extended families, I would say wisdom and discretion must be applied in choosing related partners. However, friendship aids a solid bond. It's very, 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 very important to make sure that even as siblings, you embrace friendship first before you start talking about money or pulling something together. If you're already a second generation family of entrepreneurs, it's easier because your parents might have already set the foundations. But if you are the first generation, it's very difficult to build those fundamentals of how to build a very strong family business. One thing I just want to zero in, but it deserves an entire episode, is how to sustain family businesses. At this point, I know that I've worked with family businesses in the advisory and consulting capacity, and I may not be very qualified to talk about this subject, but I would love in our future episodes to invite business owners who are operating in that space where they have either first generation or second generation family businesses to share with us their insights on their journey. But I would also be glad, actually, I would also be willing to share the insights I've learned in my journey as a consultant for family businesses. And although I've been talking to the family businesses from the bench, there's something that I know today about family businesses which I didn't know until I worked with them. So next time we'll expand more on this, bringing an expert on suits and sandals, and also I'll be weighing in on my consultancy experience with family businesses. How can we make them sustainable? How can we ensure succession planning works? How can we ensure we have strong business continuity fundamentals? And how can we ensure that we have a scalable idea as a family? It's very, very, very important. So until next time, when we meet in the next episode, especially on the entrepreneurship agenda, I just say, God bless you.